Good. Hello. All right. So before I get started, I do want to give you greetings from Malawi. I heard from the team twice this week. That was it, because they have no internet where they're at. And so I heard about that, and I go, that's where I want to be. That would be great. But no Wi-Fi. So I heard from them twice. I actually talked to Julie yesterday. They had just the services have been powerful, like powerful. And my wife said yesterday they had a meeting, and she said, you know, we've been doing ministry a long time, so when my wife says this, it's pretty amazing. She says, I've never been in a service like that in my life. I've never seen the power of God so manifested in my life. She said, I felt like I was living right out of the book of Acts. She said, it was so amazing, so powerful, and I cannot wait. She said, tell the people, this is what she said over and over and over again, tell the people that they're giving, and what you guys, as we sow into that ministry out of Malawi, they said, it's making a difference. She says, I've seen it with my own eyes. She said, I've seen it with my own eyes. She said, it's making a difference. It's affecting the people all in that area. And so just thank God for what God's doing. I know they had, I don't know what else they've seen, but she told me one of the first night I think they were there, they had a guy who couldn't hear in one of his ears, and God healed him. And so they're just seeing awesome, awesome stuff over there. And they will be here next week to kind of tell about what's happened and what's going on over in Malawi. So just keep praying. Well, all the meetings are now over. So they are actually traveling back to Blantyre, where their flight will be on Tuesday. But then on Monday, they're going to suffer for the Lord, and they're going on two safaris. So a land safari and a boat safari. So I'm trying not to be mad at my wife for not for me being not there, but super excited, and it was cheap. Like they're like $17 for a safari. Yeah. So plus the airfare and the travel, and so yeah, $17. That's amazing, and it's cool. You've been on it,
so,
yeah.
So
is it amazing? Yeah. Is it amazing? Have you heard anything from them since they've been gone?
I haven't. No
you haven't. Okay, and poor Melanie. Melanie said she's been trying to talk to her husband. It's small. It's week after Easter. It's kind of this is what we do. So, poor Melanie tried to talk to Craig, and he called a couple of times, and she missed his call both times. She said, "I picked it up right as I heard him hang up." Like that's terrible. Yeah. So, but anyway, just they're flying back on Tuesday, Wednesday, because it's 30 hours of travel. So they're flying from Blantyre to the long way to Ethiopia to Ireland to Washington so they're doing a world tour on a plane. Yeah, like halfway around the world. So just pray for those guys and thank you, thank you, thank you. She said, tell the people thank you for praying and you're making a difference. She's seen all the kids. It's just amazing what God's doing over there. And so super excited, and I'm excited to have my wife back on Wednesday. So, yeah. Amen? God's good. God's good. Okay, I'm going to pray for myself. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for your revelation. Holy Spirit, teach us this morning. Just right where you're at, just say, God, I just hear, just in your own words, just receive. Get in a moment of receiving this morning. God, I want to receive from your words. I want to receive, God, from your spirit this morning. Whatever you want to speak to me this morning, God, I'm open to it. We thank you, God. My God, use my words. Speak through me this morning, God. In Jesus' name. Everybody said? Last week, it was Sunday. It was Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday last week. And so we started a series called Life Resurrected. And we're going to continue on with that idea. And John 1 says this. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that had been made. In him was the life. Everybody say life.
Life.
And that life was the light of all mankind. In him was the life. Amen? So what kind of life, we talked about last week, what kind of life is Jesus offering? Jesus is offering the God kind of life, like abundant life. Jesus called it abundant life. He talks about really living. And we talked about the fact last week that we live in a world, we gave the example of the Chattahoochee River. We talked about how the Chattahoochee River up in the North Georgia Mountains, it comes out of a spring, right? And it's crystal clear. You can bend down, you can drink out of it, right? And then if other rivers feed into it, and then it goes through Lake Lanier, and then it goes through Atlanta, and then it goes through South Atlanta, and then you shouldn't eat anything out of that river, and then you shouldn't drink that river. And it's not like God intended it, right? That river is now not like God intended it. It's been polluted, if you will. And so, but we talked about how that's our culture in our world. Our world has been polluted by the power of sin, by the power of disobedience to God, by choosing people's own way rather than choosing God's way. It's been polluted. And some of us, we can look at our life and see the effects of sin on our lives. And this scripture in Romans chapter 6, 20 and 21 says this. It says, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. Boy, that's how some people view it, right? Well, I'm not really under any kind of law. I don't have to serve God because I'm free to do whatever I want. I'm free to live my own life, right? I'm free from righteous living. I can do whatever I want to live, right? And then he says this. He said, what benefit did you reap at that time from the things which you're now ashamed of? Those things that we used to do, the things that we used to be involved with. Some of you, you know, some of us have had some pretty wild past. And the question Paul's asking is, what did you reap from those things that you're now ashamed of? Like the things that you look back and the thing that you wish, I hope the person sitting next to me never hears what I used to do, or that thing that I used to do, or that one thing that what happened to me, right? So he says, what did you reap? He says, those things resulted in death. And that's what we see in our culture today. We see people just choosing their own ways. And we talked about the idea that we talked about scams last week. Remember the headache product? You just rub it on your head, right? If you just rub this stuff on your head, then it'll take your headache away. Well, that turned out to be wax. It was a scam, right? And then they had the power bands that, you know, forget about any kind of exercise, forget about, you know, any kind of, you know, endurance training or any kind of workout, just wear these bands. And man, you'll increase your strength, your balance, you know, you'll be happier, like everything's promised, you know. Well, those guys who made those things lost a $57 million class action lawsuit because it was not true. It just different. We misrepresented our product and we basically lied to people, right? And then it was promoted by celebrities, you know. Shaquille O'Neal would wear those things, and he would wear them proudly as he played his game, right? So we talked about how the world, how our enemy, he scams us. He promises us all this stuff, right? What was the lie of the garden? God's holding out on you, right? God's holding out of you. If you would just eat, you'll be like God. Isn't that the way the enemy does even today? He still promises us. He still scams people. Right. Just live this life. It'll be fine. Right. It'll be great. You'll be better off for it. You know what? If you tell the truth in this situation, it's going to go bad for you. So you probably should just lie about it, because it'll go better for you. Right? These are the lies that the enemy brings, and it's a scam. It's a scam. It doesn't bring life. That actually the Word of God says it brings death. Right? Yeah. And then it says, but the promise is that in Romans chapter 6, it says, we were buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life. That is what's promised to you. That's what's promised to you and me, that the power of death, the power of sin and death has been broken over our lives. And now we can live a life well-pleasing to God, and it will bring life to us, right? We're free from the law of sin and death. Amen? Colossians chapter 3 says, since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. That's what our thing. See, I love it. I'll tell you a Greg Crochelle, if you know who Greg Crochelle is. Greg Crochelle-ism is this. He says, Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. He didn't come to make bad people good. He made to make good dead people alive. And so when we receive Christ, we have been made alive in Him. See, I don't think we understand what we lost in the garden. We lost fullness of life, right? And so within society and people have bought the lie of the enemy. Resurrection power, the resurrection life that God gives us. We talked about this, and the question that we asked last week was this. We talked about how the women came to the garden, and the angels made this statement and asked this question. He says, why do you seek the living among the dead? So we talked about that last week. The question for us is, why do we seek living things among dead things? Why do we try to find life outside of God? Why do we try to find life among dead things? Right? Because the promise is, the scam from the enemy is, just do this, you'll be better off for it. Right? And we know it leads to death. Look at our culture. I say it all the time. So we've turned away, people have turned their hearts away from God. How's that working for them? How's that working? It's not. It's not working. And, you know, we're the weird ones. So how do we live in the abundant life that God's called us to? How do we get this abundant life and live there? So glad you asked that, and I'm so glad you're here this morning, because that's what we're going to talk about. Romans chapter 8, let's go there. Romans chapter 8, it's great book of the Bible, or chapter of the Bible. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives what?
Life.
The Spirit who gives what?
Life.
Has set you free from the law of sin and
death.
Life. Death, right? This is all through the New Testament. This idea of life and death. Life by the Spirit and death by sin is all through. It's the message of the New Testament. He says, from what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in the flesh in Christ, right? In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be filled, met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the
Spirit.
Those who live, watch this, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on the fleshly desires, right? But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is
death.
But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. You see that? This is going to be a quick message. How do we live the abundant life that God's called us to do? That God's promised us to have? It's by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of life, the Bible calls Him. Right? The Holy Spirit who lives in us. I'm getting way ahead of myself. Can we see that it's a Spirit of life? Not just any life, it's God's kind of life. What is the kind of God? It's so much so that in Romans chapter 12, it says this, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy. It's not up there. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit that brings that. The Spirit breathes life into us. Watch this. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all... What is the God? God of what?
Hope.
He is the God of hope. Here too. God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Everybody say joy?
Joy.
Everybody say peace?
Peace.
That's good. That's good. That sounds like life to me, right? Joy and peace as you believe in Him, that you may overflow with hope by the power of the what? of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that breathes the very life of God in us as believers. See, this is not something that we gain in our flesh. This is not something that you work up. You don't work up peace, right? You don't work up joy. It's something that overflows out of the believer's heart because they have the nature of God on the inside of them. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, right? That's how God lives. God doesn't worry. Ever think about that? Like, God does not worry. We worry. God lives at peace. That's amazing. Can you imagine knowing everything that is going on the planet and just living in peace? Like, I don't even understand. Like, really? Like, God is not twiddling his thumbs trying to figure out, you know, who you're going to marry or how this is all going to work out. God's not going, I don't know. Gabriel, you got any ideas? I'm at a loss for words. Like, God's never like, I'm at a loss for words. I'm confused. I don't know what to do. You know, maybe he'll figure out it on his own because I don't know. Like, you know, that's kind of the way we live, right? That, can you imagine? There is no worry in God. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Our job is to tap in to his power. And his, it says that you will have hope that flows out of you by the power of his Spirit. By the power of his Spirit. It's not a work up. It's not something that we work up. Now let's look at this. Now, here's the rub, right? The rub is, how do we experience life in a world that's fallen? And have fallen into the schemes of the enemy, right? The effects of people living in sin and disobedience to God, it brings death, right? It doesn't bring the life of God, right? It brings death. I mean, look, right? Look around. It brings death. You have suicide, you have discouragement, you have depressions, you have, you know, we are so medicated, and I'm not against medication, let me back up, but we are so medicated with our emotional stuff, right? It's because we live in a fallen world, and the effects of the fallen world can affect us. Right? That's the reality. So how do you experience life when everybody around you is experiencing death? And they're putting all that death on you. How many of you work? No, I'm not going to ask that question. It's the effects, right? We talked about last week. I have a friend that just, that every time he goes into his job, he goes, just anger, just pfft. All I do is step foot on that campus. And like, I'm just angry. It's the effects of a fallen world. And I told that story last week. Other people came up to me this week. You know what? I feel like just different things fall on them whenever they walk into their jobs. So how do you experience life when people don't know how to drive on 75? Like, right? How do you experience life? Listen to this verse. Let me just say, it's possible. Galatians chapter 5, we're going to go there this morning. It says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. Just hang with me, we're going to go somewhere with this. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. You hear that? Like, we live in a culture where you just do what you want. Whatever I feel, that's what's reality for me. And don't mess with my reality, because that's what I feel. Right? We live in a culture where this is king. That we live according to how we feel. We act according to how we feel. We make moves and we do actions on how we feel. You know, well, I don't feel this anymore, right? I feel like this other person at my job pays more attention to me, so I feel like I'm probably not in love with my spouse anymore. I'm more in love with them. Come on. Right? So we do all kind of other stuff. I just don't mess with how I feel because my feelings are real. It's my truth. Right? The scripture says, hey, look, we don't live by how we feel. We don't live by what we just desire. Those are fleshly desires. If we live according to the flesh, we'll die. It brings death into our lives. Right? Man, it's quiet in here in this library this morning. Whew. But if you're led, see, so that you don't, they're in conflict. The spirit and the flesh are in conflict with each other. So that we don't do what we don't do, excuse me, they're in conflict, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Watch this. For the acts of the flesh are these. Are obvious. I like how he says they're obvious. Like the acts of the flesh are obvious, right? Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Some of you would just went, man, you described my workplace. Like, that's it. That's where I work. Like, that's what all they talk about. That's all they think about, right? And what I've warned you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy, right? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against those things, such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified their flesh with its passions and desire. And since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit, right? Let's look, those ideas, those works of the flesh, right? We can break them down. I'm not going to teach on the works of the flesh this morning. But if you look at those works of the flesh, the sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, a lot of the stuff that we see in our culture, we see this birthing death in our culture over and over and over again, right? It produces, what does it produce? What do just those three produce? It produces broken people. It produces abuse, right? And we'll just go there this morning. Like, this stuff produces, like, sexual abuse, which produces other things, right? Which means now we don't even know what sex is all intended for. Right? To back up and say, no, sex is reserved for a husband and wife in the context of marriage. Like, you say that and you are a weirdo. Right? You say those things and you're just like, you just don't know our culture that we live in. No, I know our culture very well. And now I know how this subject, just those three, the sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, just living however you want, has produced death in our country. It ruins, like, you look at, I mean, it ruins everybody, but you look at women who are victims of all this stuff that goes on. And this stuff, like, that it permeates our culture. So that we don't even understand what even sex was ever intended for it to be. But the truth is, like, I don't know why I'm going there this morning, I'm going to go there. But, like, the truth is, like, sex was intended to help bond a husband and wife and produce kids, right? Yeah. That it was shared by a husband and a wife. Like, if you're a husband and wife, that's your world. Nobody else is allowed in that world. It's you and your spouse. Right? But we've created it to be just a sensual act. It's so much more. And emotionally, I don't care what you try to rip the emotions out of it, you can't do it because it's designed by God to do what it does. Emotionally bonds. And then you break it off and then you misuse that. It's like it's like you tell the teenagers, right? Man, a campfire is fantastic. Like a fire in your fireplace is fantastic. But if it gets in your living room, it's a problem. It produces destruction. right? And that's thing, the thing that, God created has been abused, and the schemes of the enemy, it won't affect you at all. Just sleep around. It doesn't really affect you. I don't know why my headache didn't go away. I rubbed this wax on my head. Amen? Can I give you permission? You believers in this room, you who believe in righteousness, can I just say, you're right. They're wrong. Culture is wrong. Amen? It brings death. It brings destruction. It brings all kind of stuff. Didn't really think I was going to go there, but... Like this sexual immorality, this is not, I wrote it down, this is not a victimless sin. It's not something you go, oh, it didn't bother anybody. Really? Really? Look what these acts, look what these works of the flesh, look what they produce in people. Look what the acts of the flesh, how they demean people, right? You look at things like, you know, if we're not careful, we'll breeze over this, go, yeah, yeah, witchcraft and idolatry and hatred and envy, yeah, yeah, yeah. But think, break it down. Like, look at these words. What does hatred produce in a culture, in you as a person? What does unforgiveness produce in you as a person? Right, when you hold on to that stuff, when you hold on to hatred and anger, what kind of person does that make you into? Envy. We can't celebrate. You can't celebrate anytime somebody else did something. You can't celebrate and be happy for them. Because you're envious. Like, think about what that produces. Think about what this produces in you. Well, not you, some people outside the building. Think about what it produces in you. Right? Broken people. Now look at the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So the Bible calls these the fruit of the Spirit. So God is Spirit, right? You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The fruit, and they're all in agreement, by the way, right? The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the triune Godhead, right? One mind, one thoughts, they're one, right? God will explain it to you in heaven. Because I can't. But it's all one. God is one. But he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. You ever think about this? The fruit of the Spirit is how God thinks. It's not even something that, okay, you should live in peace. You should live in joy. You should have self-control. No, this is the fruit of the Godhead. It is the fruit of God Himself. Right? Now, when you were born again, the Spirit of God came and lived on the inside of you, right? We know this. The same Spirit, Romans chapter 8, where it says, we talked about it at our small group on Friday night. It said, the same Spirit that lives in us, that cries, Abba, Father, that we are connected with God, right? You know that part of you that goes, you know what, I may not always act right, but I know I'm a child of God. You know what I'm talking about? The part in you that goes, I'm born, I can't really explain it, can't really, you know, teach it to you, but I am a child of God. It's in me because the Spirit of God is bearing witness to your spirit that you're a child of God, right? You just know. The Spirit of God who lives in you, His character, His nature is righteousness, right? Or is peace, joy, patience, goodness, right? Like, that's the Spirit of God living in you. Like, if you say, I just don't have patience, Well, I can understand that from a flesh world. But remember, you are a three-part being, right? We talked about this before. Three-part being. You have a body. You are a spirit. You have a body, right? Wait a minute, oh my gosh. Let me get this right. You are a spirit. Let me do it. Oh my gosh, thank you. Come up here and teach it. All right, I'm going to sit down. Preach it. All right, I am a spirit. I have a soul, and I live in a body. Thank you. I am a spirit. Say, I am a spirit. Born again. You have a born-again spirit, alive to God. I am a spirit. I have a soul, my mind, my will, my emotions. And I live in a body, my flesh, right? My flesh nature, right? And those things, your flesh nature, and a lot of times your mind, are at war against your spirit man. Your spirit man is in there trying to say, let's live for God. Let's go for God. It's time to go for God. We're going to pray. We're going to pray this morning. I can't wait to pray this morning. We didn't pray this morning. I'm going to pray this afternoon. We're going to pray this afternoon, right? We're going to do this. Like, that's in you, right? The part of you that wants to serve God. And your soul and your flesh, they say, no. Hold up a second. But if we can live by our spirit man, if we can live by the Spirit of God that lives in us, because the Spirit of God and our spirits are intertwined in perfect relationship. That's why we say you have to renew your mind and crucify your flesh, because your spirit is alive to God. Your spirit is ready to go. Your spirit is ready to, you know, they said worship night, and your spirit went, yes, 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 yes. Your spirit woke up and said, let's go to church. And some of you, your body said, no, I'm going to St. Mattress this morning. Well. But God is in you. But God, listen, God is in you. Listen how he says it. He says at the end of, it says in verse 25 of Galatians chapter 5. He says, since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. Let's keep in step. So I said like this, you know what, when you're feeling, like whatever you're feeling, like we need to stay in step with the Spirit. Right? When stuff goes awry, you need to get to stepping. You need to get stepping with God's Spirit on the inside of us. Connect with God's Spirit. Like our world, and listen, that's why it's a dangerous thing for our culture to be so busy. To be so busy. And if there's a downtime, if there's downtime, I can't stand downtime. Right? Like Jesus, think about Jesus. Jesus himself would go away to pray. He would go away to pray. My friend, one time he said, hey, you guys going on the other side of the lake? He goes, I'll be there. I'll catch up with you. But I'm going to go pray. And by the way I catch up with you is going to be really cool. Peace, joy, forbearance. These are not normal. This is not going to be normal. Like, if you think about these things, peace, forbearance. Like, we don't use the word forbearance anymore, right? Goodness, kindness, faithfulness. These things are foreign to our natural selves, right? We want to just react. When someone hates you, what do you want to do? Hate them back, right? That's the natural, when people do evil to you, do you think, you know what, I'm going to act in forbearance? No. No, your natural reaction is to lash out, to go into self-protection mode, right? To go into whatever and defend yourself and to do whatever it takes to, you know, whatever this person that hates you, they hate me, I'm going to hate them back. Right? They did this wrong to me, I'm going to do back wrong to them. See, those are what they call the works of the flesh. See, we don't think of it like that. They're works of our own flesh. But God teaches us that we're to put away our flesh. We're not supposed to live out of our flesh. We're supposed to live out of the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, the strong Spirit of God that lives on the inside of you. The one at creation that said He brooded over the waters. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus right out of the grave lives on the inside of you. It's not the Holy Spirit. No, it's the mighty Creator that lives on the inside of you. That all He shows is peace, joy. And we can have the peace and the joy if we walk in the Spirit. And it's a walk of the Spirit. It's the Spirit that gives life. If we tune in, if we step in step with Him, peace. Like you're like in your mind, you're going, I can't even think like that. But it's available to us. If we just tap in to the Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is the character and nature of God Himself. He says this. He said that by your Spirit, I use this scripture when I deal with people who are fighting addiction, but it's true in this term too. He says, by your Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the flesh. It's by your Spirit. Like, it's not willpower that breaks the power of addiction. It's the person that submits himself to the Spirit of God and lives by the Spirit of God that will ultimately break the power of addiction in the life of a believer. Because the Spirit of God lives on the inside of us. Right? And so our job is to, how do I get myself to be controlled by God's Spirit? How do I get myself to be controlled by His Spirit? How does that ooze out of me, right? It's like we always say. It's like we've taught other people, right? Spend time in prayer. Read your word. Go to church. It's the simple things. Spend time in prayer. Read your word. And go to church. What are you doing? You're saying flesh? Step aside. I'm going to live by the Spirit of God. So what does that produce? No wonder God says, man, if God be for me, who can be against me? No wonder it says that no matter what happens to you, no matter what, you can live in this peace because that's the nature and character of God. Your world could be in chaos all around you. And you have the power to tap in to the peace of God, which guards your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You have that ability to walk through. He says, I walk through the fire and I will not get burned. Like that, you talk about living in victory. You live over your circumstances. Those circumstances can't affect me because I know that God's with me. Because His Spirit lives big on the inside of me. Matter of fact, I know because He tells me all the time. My heart cries out, Abba, Father. He's always speaking to my spirit. He's always talking to me. The peace of God reigns in my heart. And you can live victoriously, not because things are all good around you, but because things are all terrible around you. You can walk over the power of the enemy and not be affected by, like, it's the Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. You'll walk through the fire and you will not get burned. You'll walk through the fire. Yeah. Live long enough. You'll walk through the fire. You'll walk through some stuff. But you won't get burned. Because God's with me. Listen to this scripture in Psalms. He says in Psalm 16, verse 11, He says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Guys, listen. Can we talk real? The life, this is not in my notes, but it's actually been burning in me. Can I just be a pastor for a second? Your faith your relationship with Christ. You calling of yourself a believer. The benefits that you receive from those. The fullness of what God has for you doesn't come by half-heartedness, by a half-hearted walk with God. It doesn't work. That's why God says in the book of Revelation, he goes, man, I wish you were hot or cold. You're lukewarm. I don't even know what to do with you. Well, he says what he does with you, right? He says he spews you out of your mouth. It makes God sick. Like God said, I don't even know what to do with that. Because you're my child, and you're in covenant relationship with me, but you won't submit your whole life to me. But if you're like completely out there, I can pursue you. But I've pursued you, you've accepted me, but you won't give your life wholeheartedly to me, so I don't really know how to deal with that. Maybe God does get confused. But the benefits, listen to me carefully. We live in Christianity. Came on the right Sunday. Christianity has been built a bill of goods that you can just live with however you want. Yeah, I can give God a little bit. I know God says this, but you know, it's a new culture and a new way of life. I don't really buy into that. And we've created this quasi-weird morality Christianity that goes up and down as we feel. And we do these things like, well, God's good because look at all these good things God's done for me. God was really, and we talked about it a couple weeks ago, God was really with me today, you know, because that police officer didn't even see me speeding. God was really with me. God was really with me. Well, God is really with the guy that's being in a prison in Iran. Yeah. Whose life is a life of torture and abuse because of what he believes. See, we created this weird brand of Christianity that's just the bless me club, right? And it's my moral feel good for the week if I just go to church. And Jesus says, well, I was going to talk about this next week. I'll talk about this today. I'll say it this. Jesus says, those who, you want to find life? Those who try to gain their life will lose it. Those who lose their, listen to that verbiage. Those who lose their life for Jesus' sake will find it. It's in the losing of your life that you find life. I don't know what I'm going to preach on next week. Those who lose their life will find it. Guys, listen. Christianity doesn't work half-hearted. It doesn't. If they told you that when you came down to the altar and they said, hey, just come accept Jesus and everything will be great. If they told you that, I'm sorry they lied to you. What they should have said is, come down, completely give everything you have to Jesus. And in turn, Jesus will give you life. But you have to give everything you have to him. But it's in that walk of the Spirit. So why do I say that? It's because if we don't live our lives submitted to him, if we don't live our lives completely in relationship with him, and we live our life half-hearted, we'll never enjoy the true walk of the Spirit to live in peace and joy and faithfulness and goodness. We won't experience it. There's life, fullness of life available for you. But listen, I have to tell you the truth. It doesn't come. It comes as we make ourselves disciples of him. And we do exactly what that song said. We bow our knee If you say no, it's no. God, if you say go, okay. I'm scared, but I'll do it. I'm done chasing feelings. Spirit, lead me. When you live by the Spirit, you'll find life. And this is not a popular message in our culture. It's not a popular, I don't even like to say it, but I will. It's not even a popular in churches. Give your life completely to Jesus and half-heartedness doesn't work like that. Like, so Stan, Brian. And I'm convinced that the more we give our lives to Him, the more life comes to us. I know it for my own life. I know it for my own life. Like my wife will tell me, like, if I'm having a bad, like, and we all have bad days. I don't want you to sit there and go, oh man, he's like a sponge. Like, whenever they squeeze David, like, just peace and joy and happiness and lovely and flowers and unicorns fly out of his heart, you know? And that's not even true. Like we all have those days, you know? But there's reasons. Is it because God's not real? No. Because I haven't tapped in. My wife will tell me, she goes, David, you just need to go pray. And I'll go, and then she's right. So I just go pray. Bow your heads with me. Come on, just you and Him. I want you to think about that time. Think about that time when you were going through it. Man, life was tough. Like it was full on trouble. And you tapped into God. And even though the circumstance didn't change, you felt the peace of God flood your heart. Circumstances didn't change. Life didn't change. A problem didn't go away. I still owed all that money in debt. But the peace of God came. And joy came. Remember that? What'd you do? You tapped into the Spirit of God. You tapped into not the Spirit of God, but yes, the nature and character of God that lives in you. And all of a sudden, the fruit that it produced is the same fruit that God produces. Peace, joy, patience, gentleness, kindness, self-control. God's good. So maybe you're in this room. And you just say, you know what? I know. Like, I don't even have to say it. Like, you know. You say your walk with God is just that kind of up and down and no real true commitment to Him. And you say, I'm going to yield to the Spirit of God in me this morning. And I choose not to walk by the flesh. I choose not to walk outside the Spirit of God. I choose to walk in step. I'm going to walk in step with the Spirit of God. And sometimes you have to press in. Sometimes it doesn't come. I'm just reminded by God's Spirit right now. And just a reminder, sometimes it doesn't come just from your 2-second prayer. Sometimes it takes a pressing in. Sometimes those things are so great and the voice of your flesh and the voice of every negative thing is flying at you at breakneck speed. And a little, God help me, is not going to really cut it. You're going to have to dive deep. The walk of faith is not a walk, a timid walk. But I'm telling you, there's victory. You don't have to be affected. You can walk through the fire and not get burned. He shows you the path of life. So if that's you, I want you to do that right in your heart this morning. And like whatever that looks like in your heart, just maybe a recommitment to Him this morning. God, I thank You for Your goodness. God, I thank You that no matter what, God, You're always with me. God, You never leave me because Your Spirit lives inside of me. It's been trying to endeavor to, there's somebody in here and you just feel like you've been abandoned. You've been abandoned by God. You've been abandoned by people. You feel alone in your own feelings. You feel alone in your own hurts and your own wounds and your own stuff. You feel alone. You know, you go, I have friends and I have people around me, but truth is, I feel really alone. There's somebody in here that's you. The word for you today is Jesus said, I didn't leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And the Spirit of God lives big on the inside of you. And His grace and His presence is real. God is with you this morning. God is with you this morning. Let that bring healing to your heart. God is with you. You have not been left alone. You're not alone. Receive it. And as I speak that word, just right there where you're at, this is not you, just pray. But if this is you, just receive that word. And just say, God, I acknowledge that. Just back to Him, acknowledge it. God gives you a word, acknowledge it back to Him. It's communication with the Father. Say, God, I receive that word. I trust You that You're near. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, Heavenly Father, I speak life to this congregation. I thank You, God, for life, resurrected life, that we are raised by the Spirit to walk in newness of life. We are raised with Jesus. God, You set us on with Jesus in heavenly places, far above all principalities, powers, and mights. God, we thank You that we can overcome every area in our lives. Nothing by any means shall harm me in Jesus' name. God, I thank You, God. God, I speak the strength of God into this congregation this morning. God, I thank You, God, for Your power that works mightily on the inside of them. Say this. Say, thank You, God, that Your Spirit lives big in me. Say, I am more than a conqueror. No weapon that's fashioned against me shall prosper in Jesus' name. Say, I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might. In Jesus' name. Say, I can do what God says I can do. I have strength. His power, His resurrection power lives inside of me. In Jesus' name. Say, I choose to walk in newness of life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Sometimes you just got to tell yourself that, right? In Jesus' mighty name. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. Worship You. Just right where you're at. If you lift your hands, and not just worship God. Just thank You, God. Thank Him. Just thank Him. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you're in this room this morning and you need prayer, as they do this song, maybe that was you, that person in this room, and you want prayer. I'm gonna get some people to come down and pray with us. Listen. Don't do life alone.